Well, good morning, Honey Ridge family. As we enter day 14 of the lockdown, I think it's fair to say that the honeymoon of the lockdown is probably now over. I think it's also fair to say that we've become very familiar with being in each other's space. We've been forced to spend close proximity with members of our family for an extended period of time and in a limited space. Now, being in a confined space with members of our family over a long period may have revealed things about us and how we relate or respond to others that may have caught us by surprise, perhaps revealed some things about our character that have disappointed us or may have even shocked us. What has this lockdown revealed in each of us of what it means to live as God intended for us to live when it comes to relating to others? Well, when thinking about this, I immediately thought of the passage in Galatians 5, which speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. Let's have a look at this passage. In Galatians 5, verse 16 to 23, Paul says the following: I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. What we learn from this passage is that when we walk in the Spirit, this produces fruit in our lives. So let's note a few things about fruit. Firstly, it's important to note that fruit has several important characteristics. Think of these as we look closer at the fruit of the Spirit. Firstly, fruit isn't achieved by working. It's birthed by abiding. An apple doesn't become an apple by anything that it does. It becomes an apple by being part of an apple tree. Secondly, fruit is fragile. It can spoil easily if it's handled incorrectly. Then, fruit reproduces itself. When the conditions are right, fruit will produce more fruit. Fruit is also attractive. It appeals to the eye. We are drawn to it. And then finally, fruit nourishes. Now we know this. It's very healthy for our diet and should form a regular part of our diet. So let's look at it, at each element of this fruit. Firstly, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now it's fitting that love is the first mention because it encompasses all of the following elements of the fruit. It may even be said that the following eight terms are just describing what love in action looks like. Love translates from the ancient Greek word agape. In the Greek language, there were four distinct words for love. The first was eros, and was the word for romantic or passionate love. We get our English word erotic from it. Then there was philia, which was the word for love which we have for those who are near and dear to us, be they family or friends. Thirdly, there's storge, which is the word for love that shows itself in affection and care, especially family affection. But agape describes a different kind of love. It's the love more of a decision than of the spontaneous heart. It's as much a matter of the mind than the heart, because it chooses to love the undeserving. Agape has to do with the mind. It's not simply an emotion which arises in our hearts. It's a principle by which we deliberately choose to live. This form of love is above and beyond natural affection or the loyalty to blood or family. This is loving people who aren't easy to love, loving people who you don't necessarily like. Secondly, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Now, one of the greatest marketing strategies ever employed was to position the kingdom of Satan as the place where the fun is, and the kingdom of God as the place of gloom and misery. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy. We could say that this is joy of the Spirit because it is a higher joy than just the thrill of an exciting experience or a wonderful set of circumstances. It's a joy that can abide and remain even when circumstances seem terrible. Paul knew this joy personally. He could sing about it when he was manacled in a dark prison dungeon, which we read about in Acts chapter 16. Now Spurgeon has said of this joy, listen to this quote, "Believers are not dependent upon circumstances. Their joy comes not from what they have, but from what they are. Not from where they are, but from whose they are. Not from what they enjoy, but from that which was suffered for them by their Lord." Well, thirdly, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And this peace spoken of is peace with God, peace with people. It's a positive peace. It's filled with blessing and goodness. It's not just the absence of fighting. I suppose we could say that this peace is a peace of the Spirit because it is a higher peace than just what comes when everything is calm and settled. This is the same peace of God which surpasses all understanding, which we read about in Philippians 4 verse 7. It's interesting that the ancient Greek word used here for peace is Irene, and it means not just freedom from trouble, but everything that makes for a man's highest good. In the fourth place, the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Patience means that one can have love, joy, and peace over an extended period of time when people and events annoy us. Romans 2 tells us that God is not quickly irritated with us, so we should not be quickly irritated with others. Patience in itself is a work of the Spirit. Patience, or long-suffering as it's sometimes known, is that quality which enables a person to bear adversity and to make him patient to wait for the improvement of those who have done him wrong. When the evil one finds that he cannot overcome certain persons by force, he tries to overcome them in the long run, to wear them down. Now, to withstand his continued assaults, we're called to be long-suffering and patient. Next, the fruit of the Spirit is kindness and goodness. These two words are closely connected. About the only difference is that goodness also carries with it the idea of generosity. Generosity, in turn, calls on us to give of ourselves and what we have to others sacrificially and unselfishly. Maybe just pause here for a moment and ask yourself whether you have been generous during this time of lockdown. In the seventh place, the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. The idea that the Spirit of God works faithfulness in us is both to God and to people. It means keeping to our word, honoring our promises, or sticking to what we undertook to do, both on the very big things and in the very small things. It means being dependable, and our yes being our yes, and our no being our no, even when the circumstances don't suit us. Then the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. The word for gentleness has the idea of being teachable, of not having a superior attitude, not demanding our rights. It isn't timidity or passiveness. It's the quality of the man who's always angry at the right time and never at the wrong time. A theologian has said of gentleness the following. He says, it's important for the Christian to see that the self-assertiveness that is so much part of the 21st century life should not be valued highly. It is much better that each of us curtails the desire to be preeminent and exercises a proper meekness or gentleness. And then finally, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Now the world knows something of self-control, but almost always for a selfish reason. It knows the self-discipline and denial someone will go through for themselves, but the self-control of the Spirit will also work on behalf of others. It entails putting what I may naturally want or desire away from what I know God would want of me. It means not giving sin a foothold in our lives. And then at the end of this, Paul concludes in verse 23 by making a simple statement, and that is this: against such there is no law. You see, there are no restrictions, no conditions, and no boundaries to these attributes. I'd like to point out one final thing about this fruit. Paul used the plural in describing the acts of the flesh in verses 19 to 21 when he referred to the works of the flesh, but he uses the singular, fruit, not fruits, of the Spirit. All of these attributes, you see, are a package deal as far as God is concerned. We cannot therefore say, I can love others, but don't expect me to be patient with them, or I am willing to be kind and good to others, but I have a short temper, so as long as I don't lose my temper, all is good. You see, Honey Ridge family, God doesn't offer us incomplete fruit. He offers us the complete fruit, and we need not fear that there are elements of our character that either we can't get the better of and master, or that God can't get the better of and master for us. So then let me ask you, how are you doing at this difficult time? How do you rate yourself when you look into the spiritual mirror of God's Word? How are you demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit in your lives and in the lives of your family at this very difficult time? Oh, I pray that God would instill in each of us the full measure of the fruit of the Spirit which He has promised to us. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can come before You this morning, and we can praise You and honor You for who You are. Lord, we just thank You for the many gems in Your Word and the many riches of Your Word that has so much to say to us. It's so relevant today in what we're facing. It has so much wisdom that we need to apply. Father, I just pray that You would work in our lives as you aim the searchlight of Your Holy Word into aspects of our lives which perhaps may not please You. Lord, we know that we've let ourselves down, we've let You down in the way that we've reacted with those close to us, our spouses, our children, whoever it may be. And Father, as we are again reminded of Your Word this morning, we just pray that in the days to come You will instill in each of us the full measure of the fruit of the Spirit, so that we'd be able to honor You in all ways in the way we conduct ourselves. Lord, we again just pray for our president. We uphold him to You. We pray that You will protect him, that You will give him much wisdom. Lord, we know that he's going to need to make important decisions in the days that lie ahead about what next. And we just ask, Lord, that You would give him a special measure of Your grace. Pray that You would be merciful to him and that You would give him much wisdom. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for who You are. We acknowledge You and we honor You. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.